This is Melissa Ford-Luckin.
Rosalie Petrowski.
Susan, Seraph, and Jess.
Editors for the Washington Square Review.
Washington Square On Air
showcases the poetry and fiction
of the latest edition of LCC's literary journal,
The Washington Square Review,
read by the poets,
authors,
and editors themselves.
Expect the unexpected
as our contributors express
experience and fantasy with humor,
imagination,
poetic license,
irony,
and passion.
If you love language
at its most original,
please join us in our audio town square
to celebrate a community of writers
spanning from around the world
to Lansing.
Hey there, this is Melissa Ford-Luckin, editor of the Washington Square Review. I'm here today, though, as a faculty person with a couple students who are in my English 131 class. I have Annabelle Ludwig and Stephen Luya. Annabelle, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get here at LCC?
Yeah. So I grew up in Lansing. I went to private Catholic school growing up. So I went to Lansing Catholic High School. And then kind of looking at colleges, I didn't really want to go out of state. I applied to MSU. I got into MSU, but I was kind of leaning towards something less expensive. And then I did apply to LCC originally when applying for college, but I also got a scholarship here. I'm part of the honors program. So it's pretty much a full ride scholarship at LCC. So I was like, that's a good option for me. And I've known a lot of people that have come to LCC and have transferred out or have used this as a good option for getting your prerequisites. So I was like, that seems like a smart option. So that's why I'm at LCC.
Talk a little bit about your school that you came from.
Yeah. So Lansing Catholic is a school downtown, and it's a really good, they have a really good education program. It's a good Catholic formation as well, but they really focus on having a good education, making sure that you know what you want to do and where you want to go. We had really good counselors that did that. And so, yeah, we have a lot of requirements at Lansing Catholic to take certain classes. So like I took math for 4 years, I took science for 3 years, English all 4 years. Yeah, and I had a lot of really good teachers that taught me how to write, how to learn well and appropriately. And I think that's helped prepare me for LCC because this semester has been oddly easy. not at all what I was expecting for college. And I think that was a lot of the preparation that I get at Lansing Catholic.
Talk a little bit about the writing. What did you do?
Yeah. So I think my best writing course that I had at Lansing Catholic was my sophomore year of high school. I had a really good teacher. She was really good. And actually that was over COVID, which kind of doesn't even make sense. But we did like this big writing project at the end of the year. And it was like a 12 paragraph essay. And it was really big. But it kind of like broke down the steps of how to do a research essay, how to do writing, and how to evaluate things. So I wrote about Little Woman and like the book and how it goes into the aspects of family. And that was a really good essay. I feel like my English and writing went downhill from there because we had some interesting teachers after that were kind of like in and out. But I was able to like keep the stuff that I took for sophomore year and like carry it on. And I think it's helped a lot in this semester, actually. I mean, I've learned different things about writing here at LCC, but I've been able to like have that good foundation of writing and use that in my essays this year.
That's interesting what you were saying about how the process was broken up into pieces for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of helped you understand
what
the steps are.
Mm-hmm. We did like this like note card thing where you like had to find all your different sources and then break those down into sections and use what you're going to do in the sections and how they connected to the different points of your topic. And then you also had to like cite everything. So we learned how to cite different sources, and that took a long time, but it was totally worth it.
Cool. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Stephen, what about you? How did you get here?
So I've actually been homeschooled for my entire life. I'm one of 9 kids, so that's been a lot for my mom, but she's kind of awesome, so she just went through it all. Honestly, I didn't do a whole ton of like writing stuff before high school at all. I've done a lot of like co-ops and stuff throughout the different education like platforms. So I've done some online stuff, and there's been some people in our area that have kind of led co-ops.
What is a co-op?
So a co-op is basically where it's actually really similar to college classes. I've found out how like different homeschoolers will meet up at somebody's house usually, and we'll have one person who's teaching a class for all of us, because we realize that our parents are not necessarily qualified to teach high school level classes to everyone. And so, I mean, yeah, there's like some people who will teach math classes or sciences, and we'll have people who will teach like English or writing, and we'll also have some history people, and they're very well qualified. Some of them have done work with Life Tech, like my math teacher, she's qualified through like every single calculus level, extremely smart person. Yeah, I found that it is very similar to how college works, where yeah, we'll meet up like once, maybe twice a week, and we'll have like hour long or so classes, and then we have homework and stuff due by the next class usually. And so yeah, I found that that's very similar to college.
Talk a little bit about homeschooling, because I've heard you talk about it in class, and there are a lot of stereotypes that people have about homeschool kids. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I guess probably one of the biggest stereotypes is like a lack of social life, which I would have to say is not accurate, at least in my case. For some people, I could see that being like possible, but me, through my co-ops, as I just explained, and also through sports that I was able to do, and also in my neighborhood even, there's a lot of people that I'm in touch with. So like I did sports through a program called CHAP, Capital Homeschool Athletics Program, and we've had like the vast majority of sports available to homeschoolers in sort of a club situation. So we'll play other homeschool teams, and also we'll play other high school teams. And so actually that now runs down through like 10U level. So it's become a pretty big program, but that's been big in my kind of branching out from my, I guess, homeschool social life. I've had a lot of access to a lot of people outside of where I live, but even where I do live, we've got a pretty big neighborhood and almost everyone there is homeschooled. And so we've got lots of families with a lot of kids, and I have upwards of 50 pretty close friends in my neighborhood. So that's my social life hasn't exactly been lacking like some people might think. But yeah, that's kind of how that works, at least.
Okay, that sounds great. How did you come here to LCC? How did you make that decision?
Well, the most obvious reason was it's just an amazing deal. I mean, you get great professors and you have a good education for a fraction of the price of a university. And so I did base it off of that a lot. Also convenience. I live fairly near here, and so didn't really have to do a whole ton of traveling for commutes, but I'm still living at home right now, and that's really nice. Free room and board. Wouldn't have it any other way. But yeah, so that's kind of how I ended up here. It just made logical sense, and generally I just roll with the thing that makes the most logical sense. I'm planning to go to a university after about 2 years here, I would think. And right now I'm just getting prereqs done for hopefully dental school. We'll see.
Sounds great. Well, let's talk a little bit about how this semester has been. Annabelle, tell us what other classes you're taking.
Yeah, so I'm taking a math class in person. It's a college algebra class. I took a lot higher level math in high school, but decided to take a little less just for college. And I think I would have taken something higher, but it's been a good, easy class that I've been able to just establish good foundation of math. And then I'm taking the English comp class, which has been really great. Just learning how to write good papers and having good discussions with my classmates, which I think has been really enjoyable, actually. And then I'm taking two online classes as well. I'm taking a child development class. I think it's 0 to 12 years. And then I'm also taking an intro to psych class. And actually, it's been really interesting how those two classes have lined up throughout the pretty much the entire semester, and how we've been like learning about the same thing in both. So it's a little confusing because they're both online. I'm like, I think that's for this class. I can't really remember. But yeah, that's been really good. And then I've also had, for the honors program that I'm a part of at LCC here, we have to take a class that's called Honors Colloquy, which is every other week we have a class that's kind of just a presentation. Someone comes in, and the topic for this semester was something in technology. So we had different presentations about economics and technology, and philosophy and technology, and just how different things have in our society have been incorporated with technology, and different professors from here at LCC have come in and given their presentation. And then we have to write a little paper about them, just like a short reflection of how you connected to the discussion and what you took from it. And at first I was kind of like, this class is really annoying. I don't want to have to go to it because it's at a weird time too. And I mean, you don't have to go in person, but it's definitely worth it to go in person. It's more enjoyable. But yeah, it's actually been really good. And I've learned some interesting things about technology. I think I've learned I really don't like AI. That's what I've taken from that. But yeah, that class is only a semester long and you take it like twice in the fall semester. So yeah, I've really enjoyed that class.
Tell us a little bit about this honors program. How did you get into it?
Yeah, I actually don't even remember how I got into the program. I think I was just applying for random LCC scholarships and I got that one at some point. I can't remember if it was over the summer. It might've been at some point over the summer. I received an email and was like, you got this scholarship. And I was like, I did? I didn't even know that. So yeah, I think it's pretty much just the honors scholarship at Lancet Community College.
Well, there's a message in there. Read the emails.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't look at my LCC email for like a good few months into the summer. Stupid idea. Why didn't I do that? I don't know.
Yeah, so anyone out there, please read your email.
Uh-huh. In March when you like apply and get in. Because I had so many emails. I was like, what? I've been missing all this. But the program is, you have a requirement of keeping, I think, like a 3.5 GPA throughout the semester. And you have to take certain honors classes either through the actual honors class. So like the honors English comp class is an honors class. So that counts as an honors class. And then you also, if you don't want to take one of those, you can ask for an honors option in one of your regular classes and your teacher can give you an option for that, like an extra project or something. And I think you have to take 3 honors classes every semester, or no, not every semester, every year. And then you also have to take this honors colloquy class. And so, yeah, and it's you get a certain amount of money. I think it's like $2,500 per year or per semester. I don't even know how that works. I just like, cool, I got some money. Great. but yeah.
As far as the academic experience of it, it sounds like an extra layer of scholarship.
Yes. Yes. It definitely, I think it's ordered towards people who are invested in their education and want to make sure that they are focused on their school. And I think it doesn't, I mean, I'm invested in school anyways. I like school. I want to get good grades, but I think it also gives you a motivation to be like, you're kind of one of the top students. You want to be able to get good grades so that you can keep up the scholarship. And it gives you that extra boost of motivation. Yeah.
Cool. Well, talk a little bit about the papers you've written for our class.
Yeah. So our first paper was the personal narrative paper, which I really enjoyed writing. I think it was a different style of writing that I've done. I've done a lot of MLA, like very basic format. And I think when you first edited my first essay, I was like, oh, wow, I could totally change this up and make it more personal. And that was really cool to kind of fiddle around with, which I've actually really liked being able to kind of experiment with my essays. And then this past essay that I just wrote, the third and final one that we had to write about books versus movies, I've really enjoyed diving into like researching that. I think it really helps if you have a good topic to research and you enjoy what you're writing about. Because for my second essay, I really did not enjoy writing what I was writing.
What was that one?
It was about Michigan transportation and the bus system, which I've multiple times during the semester, if I like the bus app that I've been using when I take the bus does not work, I'm like, man, that essay is so true.
It really is.
Yeah.
Anyone who rides a bus knows if we had a really good steady app that we could rely on for the transportation, it would just make life so much better and easier.
Like yesterday, the bus didn't come for like 30 minutes. And I was like, you know what? I'm just walking. This bus app does not work. So, but the third essay, throughout the semester, you've like had us do different assignments that will help us incorporate into our essay. And I've kind of like done those assignments, but haven't necessarily like used them in my essays. But for this third one, I used so much of what we've been using and what we've been learning in the class, in the essay, which was really cool because I like took all this stuff and I had it just all in a Google Doc. And then I went to the writing studio and said, I have all this information. How do I put it together? And I was able to like write an essay from that. And that was really cool.
That is very cool. Yeah. Steven, what about you? What other classes are you taking this semester?
This semester, I'm taking an intro to psychology course. I'm taking a chemistry class and a lab along with that. And yeah, just that along with this honors comp course.
Talk a little bit about the papers you've written.
So the papers I've written have been, they've been fun, actually. I've enjoyed this class a lot. I would say my favorite one was probably between the first and the last. They were both pretty fun. The first one, yeah, like Annabelle said, was like a personal narrative. And that was fun to be able to kind of delve into that in researching myself. I guess I was able to kind of get some unbiased, insightful kind of insight on my own life, which was pretty fun. I wrote about some tough experiences that I had had and just kind of how I learned from those. And honestly, looking back, I learned a lot looking at how I was able to learn from them. And just kind of reflecting on that for a while was really helpful for me. The third one that I wrote was about like social media use and like how people view people who are like anti-social media and stuff like that. And that was fun because I guess there's a lot of statistics and stuff around that, and I enjoy that kind of thing. And so I was able to put a lot of that together to make a compelling argument, which was a lot of fun. So those were definitely my top two. The middle one was, I mean, it was a research paper. And what else can you say?
And what was your topic on that one?
It was about the road work and the construction and stuff. And I mean, it was actually somewhat entertaining to kind of look into like the different reasons why things are the way they are with the road work here in Michigan, specifically Lansing. And I was able to get some decent insight as to why things are the way that they are and draw some conclusions from that, which was fun. And I was able to interview a couple of people that I know about it, and everybody has their opinions about that one. It's a pretty hot topic, so that was kind of fun. But the writing of the paper itself was pretty formatted research paper, so not quite as entertaining to write as the others, but I did enjoy the research.
I think it's interesting that you both noted the first one and the third one as a more fun, pleasant, interesting experience, and both of those are the ones where I'd ask you specifically to put more of yourself into the essay. And I do find that students come from a varied educational backgrounds, some where they have written personal narratives and some where they haven't written any at all. And so sometimes when they come to class, I'm the first person that's asked them, you know, put yourself in here. And they don't, you know, first off, sometimes they just don't know how to do it. It feels weird to them because they just haven't done it before. And I was wondering if you guys could talk a little bit about what it's like to put yourself into the topic. How does that feel? And how does that affect how you think about the topic?
I think it makes me feel like I'm a part of what I'm writing rather than I'm just writing about something. I'm like putting myself into the writing and being like, this is my piece. I'm writing about it because it affects me and how I view this topic. And I think what you were saying about how students have come in and been like, you can put yourself in your writing? No way. I think I was kind of like that too. I feel like I've written different things about myself, but it's never been like a research with my opinion in there. I think it was very much when we were talking about like this, the topic of I and how like you don't necessarily want to use that in high school and how people have like literally told you can't say that. And then you were like, you can use this all the time. And I was like, oh, no way. And I've really enjoyed that actually. Yeah. And I just think it's been interesting being able to do that because I feel like it makes your writing more personable. And then it also just makes it more enjoyable to read anyways. It's less just facts, facts, facts. And it's more of, this is how I felt, and this is how other people can feel as well.
Right. And it's a good way to combat that AI thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because ChatGPT cannot write your essay.
Yeah.
I would say I've definitely done stuff along those lines before. In my Christian circles, sometimes we'll write things that we call testimonies. And so I have definitely written some, I guess, stories about myself and looking back and reflecting on that. And so I definitely thought of this in a very similar way where I was kind of looking at some experiences I had and seeing kind of like reflecting on that and figuring out like, what did I learn from that? And how can I like portray that in this paper in a creative way? So that was good. And but yeah, I wasn't completely new to that when I came into this. I think that's part of why I enjoyed that one so much is because I was able to kind of I was able to put my faith in there a bit and just kind of be like completely true to myself in it, because I didn't have to be, I guess, unbiased, because it's my story, you know, if that makes sense. So that was a lot of fun. I would definitely recommend giving that a shot sometime, just kind of reflecting on an experience that you've had and just kind of writing up about it. I mean, it can be a lot of fun.
For anyone who's listening, our third essay, the first one, as we mentioned, was a personal narrative or a literacy narrative. And the third one is a pop culture theme where students are asked to identify an area of pop culture that they themselves are connected with. And so that can vary quite a bit. Annabelle, talk a little bit about the research you did for writing three, your pop culture essay.
Yeah, so my topic for this essay was books versus movies and like how books have been adapted into movies and people's opinions about that. And I think I first thought of this when, like my topic, when I was at home and someone was complaining about The Lord of the Rings and how like the movies will never be as good as the books, which actually is interesting because a lot of people actually say the movies are really good adaptations of the books. I think it's just Lord of the Rings bias and people like the books anyways. So I kind of went into that. I was specifically looking at, there's this YouTube page that has like a bunch of Lord of the Rings and movie and book adaptations. And they compare them, and there's like it's like a 10 video series. And I was looking at that and I was finding a lot of stuff, but I was like, what if I branched out and looked at other books? Because there are a lot of other options that are out there. So I kind of was looking around YouTube a little bit, just kind of seeing what people were saying, comparing books and movies. And I was finding a lot of things about that. And I think a big part of why I was looking on YouTube was because we were doing the discourse analysis, and which was like looking at a YouTube video and then going through the chat and seeing what people were saying and what the discussion was and whether there was bias in it or not and what was missing. And I think doing that and looking through videos, I was finding a lot of things about it. And then I was like, okay, maybe this is a good topic. And so I went in and I found some articles about that, that people had written about it. And then I took that and wrote my essay.
That wandering research, I think, is the best, funnest kind of research.
Yeah.
Because you don't always know where it's going, but you just kind of follow it and see where it takes you.
I definitely think when I'm trying to research, I think I've learned that it's hard to have a topic and then to go and like try to find things about it. It's kind of, you just have to go out with an open mind, which I feel like is hard because I have an idea of when I want to write about it already. And then I'm like, I don't want to change it because that's hard. And I have to think about other things and how I want to write about that.
That's a really good point, though, to go into the research with curiosity and see, be open to changing, because that's the whole point of research.
Yeah, exactly. It's
you're just looking for people that want to say, you know, what you want them to say. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been a learning process how to do research. And I know it's going to be like more because I'm going to have to write lots more research papers in college.
Cool. Steven, talk a little bit about your research process for writing three.
Like Annabelle said, we had to do some discourse analysis stuff. So I was focusing on a lot of things where I could find like a comment section or something, because I found with a lot of the articles that I found that were supporting kind of my stance on that I hadn't really developed. I wasn't exactly sure where I was going with this one. Like, this was one of the toughest topics to kind of really decide where I was going to go with the paper. And I didn't end up really making a decision till like the day before I wrote it. But yeah, as I was going into it, I was looking at lots of articles and things, and I was having a lot of trouble trying to find like ones that had an actual comment section, because some of them were like really just vague newspaper things where nobody actually reads them. And I was probably like their only view in the past 2 years. And so I would look at it and I'd be like, okay, this is good. This is good. And I'd get to the bottom, and then it's like comments and there's like one. And I'm like, you can't exactly call that discourse, I guess, can you? And so I think most of the discourse analysis I was able to find was on like TED Talks and stuff, and like actual YouTube videos versus like articles. And so that ended up being really good. I found a lot of people who had some really good insight about the whole situation. And I found, honestly, that most of the comments that I saw were fairly insightful. People seemed to actually be taking their time with it, which was, I guess, encouraging to me, that people actually sometimes will take their time with how they comment on things. And Yeah, so it seemed pretty insightful, and that was definitely helpful to me in developing my topic. And yeah, I kind of initially started looking at it like, oh, media is bad. Like, how can I prove that it's like unhealthy or whatever? And then I ended up coming out of it with like, okay, yeah, I guess media does have its benefits and there are things where it's helpful. And I ended up kind of making my stance more like that people who choose to actually delete social media or not use it aren't insane. That's kind of what it ended up being like not exactly getting on other people's cases for having social media or whatever, but more saying like, kind of have an open mind about it. Like, some people choose to have no social media, and that's their choice, and there are valid reasons behind it. That's kind of what I ended up coming to.
Right. Valid reasons that everyone really does talk about.
Yeah.
Mental health and those sorts of things.
There's obvious concerns, but I mean, clearly, I mean, if abused, social media can be not good, but there's definitely good uses for it if you spend your time wisely and stuff like that. I think that's one of the biggest things I ran into was a lot of people were like, well, I saw this video, and so I just kind of decided to cut down on my use of social media a bit. Like, most people weren't like, oh, I completely deleted social media for the rest of my life. It's been the best thing I ever did. Most people, it was like, oh, I gave myself a time limit for the day, and now I've got about an hour or so that I'll allow myself to spend on social media rather than the 9 hours I was spending before, you know? And yeah, I think that's part of what kind of ended up helping me to develop my topic was, yeah, definitely the comments and how people saw the videos and how people responded to those gave me a better, I guess, less biased view than what the speakers were giving in the videos.
Right. So both of you guys, when you were talking about your writing three, talked about selecting a topic that came from your own personal life, your areas of interest outside. I'm wondering about the writing in your other classes. How does that fit in with the writing that we do in comp class, or how is it different? How is it similar?
Yeah, actually, I've noticed, I think a lot in my psychology class, we've done a lot of reflections or research papers, both that are kind of, she wants us to give a personal opinion about it, which is interesting because that's what we've been doing in this English class. And so I've been able to kind of be like, it's okay to say I, and I've been just doing that in my writing for that class. And I mean, I've gone into the papers thinking like, this is not an English class. They're not going to grade me super hard, but I've written good papers for those classes. I also, what you mentioned about like personal experience and like using that in your paper, I think that definitely helps you enjoy your writing more if you pick something that you enjoy, because it's not enjoyable to write about, I don't know, some topic that you don't like, and then you have to do this research and learn and read all about it, and then you're like, I don't really like this, but I'm writing a paper about it, which will happen in life. But when you get the experience, like the opportunity to write about something that you enjoy, or get to pick any topic you want, you should write about something that you enjoy, because that's usually what you know most.
Right. If you have that background knowledge, when you go into the research, you already have a foundation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And also having a foundation of some sort of idea of what you're going to write about is good, but also keeping an open mind.
Yeah. It's funny how it's both sides of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Stephen?
What was the question again?
How does the writing for your other classes kind of fit in or contrast to what we do in our class?
So yeah, I guess most of my other classes, all of them, I guess, being sciences, I haven't done a whole ton of writing. I had one paper for my psychology course that we had to do, but most of it was like in-class stuff and presentations. And yeah, I would say definitely the one paper I did do, it was a personal reflection. And so it ended up being very similar to like my initial paper that I'd done. He kind of wanted us to like reflect on an experience that we'd had and kind of talk about that experience and in terms of like some core psychology elements. And so it ended up, yeah, being very, very similar to like my initial first essay. But I would definitely say that having like the practice of running that once with your class was very helpful, and I was able to write that paper a lot faster. And so yeah, that was pretty much most of like the writing that I've done outside of my English course in college, at least.
All right. Yeah. The use of the I voice is fairly controversial in some some places still. So you may in the future run into conversations about it that fall on the other side, where they're back to saying, don't use the I. So I always suggest just straight up ask, you know,
definitely
whoever it is that's giving you the assignment, can I use the I, or would you prefer I not? Or how do you see that? Because that really does leave a lot of sway into the way that the essay turns out. Mm-hmm. How much of you is obviously present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would find it a struggle definitely to write a personal narrative without using the I voice. I'm not exactly sure how you'd manage that, but
well, if somebody asks you for a straight up research paper where you aren't present at all.
Well, that checks out. I haven't really run into it yet.
It will happen.
I'm sure it will. Not looking forward to it, but we'll
I've definitely done some writing where you're not allowed to use yourself in it because I took a journalism class in high school.
Right.
And you can't use yourself.
Right.
So I think I've noticed at the beginning of the semester, it was hard to use the word I a little bit just because I was so focused on like writing in a journalistic way. And
that's a great example of a time when you're not supposed to use.
Yeah. And it was really interesting because I went to the writing center and my tutor was like, have you taken a journalism class? Because this sounds a lot like an article like that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it does. Yes, I have taken that class. So it's interesting to look at my writing now and be like, wow, that does sound like a review of something or whatever from a journalistic point of view. So
that's interesting. Talk a little bit about where you're headed next.
So I don't actually really know what I'm doing. I'm leaning towards education and teaching, most likely somewhere between like third and fifth grade. I really like that age. They're very open to learning. They like school, but they're not like super little kids. So that's kind of what I'm leaning. I'm most likely going to transfer to MSU. And yeah, we'll see where the Lord takes me and what I'm going to be doing with my life. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I would say I've got a pretty structured plan as of now. I'm open to it changing, but I prefer that it doesn't, I guess. So I'll probably spend, the next 2 years here. So this year and then another. And then I'll finish up my undergraduate at a university. I haven't really decided which. I figure either MSU, U of M, maybe GVSU or one of those smaller colleges. But yeah, after that, I'm hopefully going to go into dental school. So that's mostly what I'm focusing right now on, is getting prereqs done. And then I'll kind of figure out what major that I'll encompass all of my prereqs into. There's a bunch of different ones that would work. But yeah, I figure I'll wait at least until next year to try and kind of decide what major I want to do, because I want to have a better idea of what exactly the classes I want to continue pursuing in, because I mean, there's a lot of prereqs, but you can kind of like, if you decide to go for a specific major, then there's going to be other courses that you'll need that are outside of the prereqs. And so I definitely want to make sure that they're going to be beneficial to me in the long run. And so I figure I'll get a better feel for what I'm going to be more interested in based off of the classes I'm taking this year and maybe some of the next fall semester, before I kind of decide how I'm going to encompass them into my major. That's kind of my plan as of now. It'll be like, it's a long plan.
If someone is listening and they're thinking about coming here to LCC and taking classes, what would you suggest they think about or do? Or what would you want to know? Is there anything that you wish you had known?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like definitely I would say talk to an advisor, because they know what they're talking about. And even talk to a couple advisors, because then you get multiple points of view about what classes to take. Because I think it's very daunting coming in and being like, well, there's so many options. And like, there's different things that do transfer to different schools and different things that don't. And there's just kind of like a lot of branches of like where you can go with all your classes. And it's definitely confusing.
But taking the prereqs is a good focus, because most of those will transfer.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely say try not to go to like keep it general, because you don't want to focus too much on one thing and then realize, oh, I can't even transfer with this, or I'm not going to use this class. Why did I take that? That was a waste. Yeah. And I think also realizing, like, coming out of high school, you have your very specific classes that you take, and it's like very like block structure, and that like everybody takes these. But knowing like you get to choose what you want to study, and allowing that to be like kind of creative in deciding what you want to learn about. I definitely think don't pack your semester with like all fun classes, because then you're going to have to take all these hard classes all at once, and then it's going to be no fun. But like having a healthy mix, like taking a fun class within your like harder classes, because then you're like, I do enjoy this class and this is something that I can look forward to.
So is there anything that you wish you had known?
I wish I would have known that I would have so much extra time to do things. I think coming out of high school, that was very harsh, not harsh, but like we were very focused on school. So like I did a lot of school every single night and I had class every single day. But realizing like coming into college, I have a lot more freedom and a lot more time to do my classes. That was something that kind of hit me when I got into college. And I was like, oh, what am I doing right now? Nothing. What am I supposed to be doing? Probably school. But learning how to manage my time.
So there's a lot more responsibility on you as an individual.
Yes,
to get your work done.
Which I'm not a super big procrastinator, but I've noticed as I've gotten to the end of the semester, definitely have been procrastinating some things. But you know, that happens. So yeah, just being, realizing that you get to work on your time, you get to set your own schedule.
Cool. What about you, Stephen? What would you tell someone?
Honestly, yeah, definitely one of the biggest things would be to register early for classes. They fill up, they do. So I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to be doing as of like, honestly, late summer. That's when I started to kind of register for classes and stuff. Luckily, I was able to get some stuff that I really wanted to do, but definitely getting in early to keep your options open for classes would be a big deal. And as Annabelle said, yes, there's a lot of extra time. I would say my education in high school was very, very school oriented. We were getting a lot of stuff done constantly. And it was a similar setup where I did have to create my own schedules already, especially throughout high school, because most of my classes were meeting like once or twice a week. And so I did already have to do that. So that wasn't a big change for me. But for some people, I could see that being a lot. But yeah, I would say literally writing out a schedule, preferably handwritten. I know it's easy to do it on your phone, but you remember it better if you write it by hand. But literally writing out a schedule can be very helpful, just so that you can kind of like plan things ahead about like, when are you going to study? Because I know it sounds crazy, but you actually need to literally plan out your study time, because otherwise you'll just push it off. Because I mean, you only have so many assignments you need to do. And you're like, well, I've got 3 assignments and you got 2 weeks to do it, so I can wait, right? And then 2 weeks later, you still have 3 assignments to do, and then you're really struggling. So I would say, yeah, that's one of the biggest things that bits of advice I would give to somebody just starting off. I would say definitely register early and plan out your time.
And I think giving yourself like rewards almost like to get things done, because I personally work better under pressure. So like waiting those 2 weeks and then doing my assignments, like ideally I would get it done faster if I had that time crunch. But if I really want to get it done before it's due in 2 weeks, being like, well, you got to finish this before you can do this activity, or before you hang out with this person, you need to get this done.
And yeah. So again, it's your own responsibility. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times faculty won't remind you that stuff is coming.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. It's a lot.
All right. So what are you going to do at the end of the semester? How are you going to celebrate then?
That's a good question. Christmas? I don't know, because it's Christmas break. But yeah, I've been looking forward to the end of the semester since like the first week that it started, which sounds so bad, but
it does.
It's definitely flown by a lot faster than I thought it would. But
that's another thing to tell people.
Yeah, it goes a lot faster than you think it will. It really does, which is great. And you only have a semester, so it's not like you're coming back after Christmas break to the same classes. You'll get to do new things next semester. Yeah, I'm looking forward to being able to just not have like constantly having assignments in the back of my mind thinking like, I got to get this done or I got to do this. But being able to be like, I finished that and I did well, and just finishing strong.
Nice. What are you thinking about doing?
Well, after the semester ends, I figure I'm going to be just messing around with my friends for the next couple of weeks until I have to get back onto school again. Definitely, like Annabelle said, it's going to be big to not have due dates and assignments floating around in my head all the time. Just because even when you are like, oh yeah, I did this assignment and now I've got free time and I'm going to go hang out with this person or whatever, it's like in the back of your head, you're like, oh, I've got a 5-page essay that's due in 2 days. Yeah. I could be working on that right now. And so I think I'm going to be really looking forward to like having just a clear mind after that, you know, just not having to think about school for a little bit, I think that's going to be a really good break for me. So that's basically the biggest thing I'm looking forward to.
I am as well. I can relate. Sounds great. Well, thank you both for joining me today.
Of course. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to our talented poets and authors.
Until next time, this has been Washington Square On Air,
where we showcase selections from Lansing Community College's literary journal,
The Washington Square Review,
a publication featuring writers from the Great Lakes State,
across the nation,
and around the world.
To find out more about the Washington Square Review,
visit lcc.edu/WSR.
We hope you enjoyed listening
as much as we enjoyed sharing.